This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
The BFM Breakfast Grill, connecting you to the top people and ideas. Presented by U Mobile.
Good morning, you're listening to The Morning Run. I'm Lynn Mark, and today on The Breakfast Grill, I have His Excellency Frederick Laplanche, the Ambassador of France to Malaysia. Thanks for joining us, Ambassador. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Good morning.
So this is your first ambassadorial appointment. You took up the post here in Malaysia in June of 2017. Now, since then, you've observed a change in government and therefore a shift in Malaysia's foreign policy. What's the transition been like for you?
It's been a good experience and a good transition. First of all, we must remember that 1 year ago, something extraordinary happened in this country. The democratic transition, the peaceful elections, that's an achievement. And I think an achievement that the Malaysians can be proud of. Then over 1 year, we've seen an evolution in policy quite clearly. And it's an evolution that brings France and Malaysia closer together. Let me take a few examples. First, in the human rights area. We've seen a number of good progress. Freedom of expression in the press, for example, has made very clear progress. But also the moratorium and execution on death penalty is one of these progresses. And the commitment of the government to move forward in joining more international agreements on human rights is also positive. Even though it's difficult, it's worth supporting. Another area where France and Malaysia are closer together now is the area of fighting corruption. That's one of the big pluses of this new Malaysian government. And of course, it's good for the Malaysian economy, but it's also good for the attractiveness of Malaysia for foreign investment, including French investors.
Yes.
And a third example of things that have changed positively in favor of our relationship is the field of environment policy. I think this is a government which is very committed to moving forward on these issues. There is, for the first time, a ministry which has in its name climate change. And you know how climate change is important. I mean, the fight against climate change is important for France, which hosted the Paris Agreement on climate change. So all in all, I think this is a government which in 1 year has brought about a number of progress which bring France and Malaysia closer together.
Now, we'll get to some environmental policy in just a short while, but I'd like to pick up on the first topic that you mentioned, Ambassador, which was human rights, because in your congratulatory speech, you hailed, for example, Dato' Sri Anwar Ibrahim's release from prison as an achievement for human rights. But since then, what's your take on particularly the Pakatan Harapan government's human rights track record, particularly in regards to the Rome Statute?
There's a commitment from the government to move forward on these international agreements. I think it's a sincere commitment. I understand, because I live in Malaysia and I watch the society moving, I understand that it's difficult. There are oppositions from time to time, not always very well-informed oppositions, in particular regarding the Rome Statute, which has been adopted by a very large number of countries already, more than 120 in the world, including Muslim countries, including monarchies. So I don't think there's any contradiction here to adopt the Rome Statute. But we're not putting pressure on the government. We're supporting the commitment of this government who wants to move forward. At the same time, we need to understand that it takes time and it takes effort to convince the people. That's normal.
Yes, because France has been a big proponent of the universality of the Rome Statute and a big supporter of the International Criminal Court as well. So what are your thoughts then on the argument that the Rome Statute and United Nations conventions like ICERD, that they're incompatible with a Malaysian or an Asian culture? Because you've also been an observer of politics here in Asia for quite some time.
Yeah, Asia, the people in Asia are not that different from the people in the rest of the world. I think the idea is that we belong to the same humanity. And these very large, very encompassing international agreements typically care for the humanity in all of us. So there's no big difference. But these international agreements are not going to be imposed from outside. They've got to be accepted by the societies, and that's a work that is being done within Malaysia and within the rest of Asian countries. But once again, if you take the Rome Statute, it is on the way to internationalization and to acceptance everywhere in the world. And it has been accepted already by 122 countries. We're talking about fighting against impunity in the case of crimes against humanity, genocide, crimes of war. This is something that everybody can gather around and that which can generate consensus, I think. I'm convinced.
Now, Ambassador, let's also take a look at France and Malaysia's bilateral relations, because France is Malaysia's fifth largest foreign investor among EU countries. So the majority of the investments from France, so about $1.1 billion worth of manufacturing projects, they were in petroleum products, machinery and equipment, transport equipment. What other kind of sectors do you think are going to be of interest moving forward?
French investments in Malaysia are very dynamic. Mm-hmm. They have grown very significantly over the past few years. And nowadays, we've got more than 300 companies with investment in Malaysia and generating between 25,000 and 30,000 jobs in this country. It's not a new trend, by the way, because some of the very early French investments are still here. For example, everybody knows in Malaysia the IAM brand, you know, the canned food, the sardines.
Yes.
Well, this was created in 1892 by a French man in Malaya at that time. And it still is a French company nowadays. And not so many people know that. But moving to the current situation, we have very dynamic French investment in the field of aerospace, aeronautics. Mm-hmm. Airbus, which is a European company, not only a French company, but Airbus, employs more than 4,000 staff, direct or indirect, in Malaysia. You may not know, but each and every Airbus plane going out of the factories in Europe has components and parts which are made in Malaysia nowadays.
Yes.
So whenever you fly a plane made by Airbus, it's also partly made in Malaysia.
So do you think then that aerospace and aeronautics is going to be one of the key focus areas of in French-Malaysian ties?
It continues to be one of the key focuses, and it's very important. But we've got also new investment, new sectors which mm-hmm. are emerging. The automotive sector is very big. Last year, Group PSA, you know, the group which is making Peugeot and Citroën cars, among others, decided to take a majority stake in a car factory in Gurun Kedah, together with NASA. And this is actually the first European automaker to take control of a factory in Southeast Asia. So this is a very significant move. And from Gurun Kedah, Group PSA is going to manufacture cars for the whole of Southeast Asia. So this is one more area of investment. But we can talk about the food sector as well, with a number of French coming in, following the footsteps of
IAM
brand.
Yes.
Yes. And Industry 4.0 also in services is quite significantly moving forward, with KL as more and more recognized as a center for investment to serve the regional market, or to serve with services the global market as well.
So in regards to trade, I mean, Malaysia and France do about 20 billion ringgit in bilateral trade, all told. But last, our trade deficit stood at 2 billion in 2018. Is this something that France is going to be looking to remedy?
Well, statistics say different if you look at the French statistics or the, mm-hmm. or the Malaysian statistics. According to the French statistics, our relationship with Malaysia generates a deficit to the French detriment of around 2 billion. It's not a problem. France has overall, over the years, balanced international trade. If you look at the European Union and Malaysia, if you take the bigger picture, the EU-Malaysia trade relationship, the deficit is even bigger, actually. And Malaysia is the source of the European Union's ninth largest deficit worldwide. That's quite an achievement. What I mean here is that Malaysia actually sells and exports a lot to Europe. It's a big market. Mm-hmm. Europe is the third trading partner for Malaysia. And it's a trade which is quite beneficial for Malaysia.
So how then would France be looking to remedy that trade imbalance?
Now, trade imbalances happen. Mm-hmm. They're not forever. Sometimes you have a deficit, sometimes you've got a surplus. It's not a big problem at this point in time. What we want is to grow the bilateral trade to the benefit of the populations and to the benefit of our businesses both ways. So it has to be open. What is on the table, though, is a proposal to Malaysia to restart the negotiations for a free trade agreement between the EU mm-hmm. and Malaysia. This is something that we started a few years ago, then it was stopped. It's still on the table. We're still on the European Union side, happy to restart negotiations. And this is something that also could have a positive impact on trade between both sides.
Yes, and there was actually, so the EU FTA, it was reinvestigated in around 2016, 2017. This was before the change in government. What has been the reception towards the idea of an EU FTA with the new Pakatan Harapan government? Have you restarted discussions on that front?
We have re-expressed the fact that we're open for discussion and to relaunching this negotiation, mm-hmm. That we still believe that it would be a positive negotiation and the outcome would be useful for both businesses and both economies. I think the Pakatan Harapan is still working on its policy on these issues, and they're not ready right now. But we will be ready whenever the government is ready to restart negotiation, and if this is not also an area where we're going to push up to force people into making agreements.
I've been speaking to His Excellency Frederick Laplanche, the Ambassador of France to Malaysia. And after this, we'll delve into some regional issues. So stay tuned to BFM 89.9.
You are listening to the BFM Breakfast Grill, brought to you by U Mobile.
BFM 89.9, welcome back to The Breakfast Grill, where I'm speaking to His Excellency Frederick Laplanche, the Ambassador of France to Malaysia. Now, earlier we were speaking a little bit about the bilateral trade and investment between the two countries, but now, Ambassador, I'd like to turn our attention to some regional issues that we are seeing here in Southeast Asia, particularly the blowback from the US-China trade war. How is this going to have an impact on France's interests in Malaysia, if not Southeast Asia as a whole?
I'm not sure whether this particular dispute will have an impact, but what is clear is that France is very committed to developing the relationship with this region, Southeast Asia. Mm-hmm. We're not interested only in big powers. We're also interested in a group of countries, the ASEAN, which is very close to a group of countries which is called the European Union. We sort of see each other as sister organizations, I would say. ASEAN is one of the regional organizations that is the closest to the philosophy of the European Union, even if in the Europe we have moved forward quicker and we started much earlier than ASEAN. So we're interested from the point of view of trade and economy, but also from the point of view of strategy, to have partners in the world which are a bit organized like we mm-hmm. are. France, by the way, you know, is one of these countries which has a global interests, in part because we are permanent members of the UN Security Council. So we see ourselves as having a responsibility. But also because we are a regional country, we have territories in the Indian Ocean and we've got territories in the Pacific Ocean with altogether 1.5 million French citizens living in those islands. So Southeast Asia, and Malaysia in particular, is in between those two areas. It counts a lot for us. It is a strategic partner for us.
But if France is looking to increase your presence here in Malaysia, for example, here in Southeast Asia, will this be perceived as a threat to China? If so, how do you mitigate that?
No. There's no contradiction or no opposition with China in this area. We have very good relations with China. France was one of the first European countries to establish diplomatic relations with the People's Republic of China in 1964. So it's a long, long-standing, very close relationship with this country, and we're not in competition with China in the region.
But France has been a big proponent of freedom of navigation, for example, in the South China Sea, which can be something of a hot-button topic for China.
We're a proponent of freedom of navigation in the world, not only in the South China Sea, everywhere. So that's very important for us wherever we are. And as I said, because we also have our territories in the Indian Ocean and in the Pacific Ocean, the navigation routes through the Malacca Straits, through South China Sea are very important also strategically for us.
So could this be a point of conflict, do you think?
I don't think so, no. I think it's a position that we're maintaining across the world. It's not specific to the region.
Okay. Now, Ambassador, also, what do you make of the issue of palm oil here in Malaysia? Because obviously that has been another sensitive topic in recent months, although it has been going on for some years now. Now, what do you make of the most recent government initiatives like the Love My Palm Oil campaign, the cap of oil palm plantation areas at 6.5 million hectares? How far do you think this will go in order to allay concerns in Europe over the environmental impact of palm oil?
I think the government has chosen a very good policy mix here. And if you allow me just to say a few words about what is going on in Europe at the moment. Mm-hmm. A lot of people are thinking or saying that there's a ban on palm oil in the making. There's actually no ban. What the European Union and France, among other countries, is doing is that we are gradually phasing out the incentives for palm oil as a biofuel. We started very early and we're still one of the few regions in the world to give incentives for palm oil to be added to the diesel mix as a replacement or partial replacement for fossil fuel. Now, we're at the moment withdrawing, phasing out these incentives. This will have an impact. Palm oil will not be as sold as a biofuel in Europe anymore for economic reasons. But apart from that, so there's no ban, and apart from that, there's no change in policy towards palm oil as a food product or as a feedstock for oleochemicals. So Europe will continue to be a very large market for palm oil. At this point in time, it's the second largest market in the world for Malaysian palm oil. We will continue to buy a lot. So that's one point. But it's true that at the moment, palm oil has a quite negative image among the populations in Europe. I have to say so. Mm-hmm. People in Europe, the public opinion is quite negative because they associate palm oil with problems of sustainability, with deforestation, with loss of biodiversity, with the impact on climate change.
Has it become a political issue in Europe? Because it's certainly blown up into a political issue here in Malaysia.
It is a political, it's a very sensitive issue in Europe as well. No?
But why is that?
Public opinions and parliaments are pushing governments to take action. And one of the results is indeed that when we have made the calculation on biofuel and whether we should continue to provide these incentives for palm oil as biofuel, the scientific results which came back are that the carbon footprint of palm oil is not good enough now because of deforestation linked to palm oil in the past. Not good enough to continue these incentives. Now, you were asking at the beginning the question of the government's, Malaysian government policy, and I think it's a good mix. At the same time, promoting palm oil and having these campaigns here in Malaysia and also in Europe to defend the image of the product, and at the same time to reinforce the environment protection, to reinforce sustainability, putting a cap on the expansion of palm oil plantations, making compulsory and helping people to get a certification for sustainability, setting a minimum coverage of forest in Malaysia, doing reforestation. All this is very positive because in the medium term, these are the policies that will convince the European consumers who make the final choice. They will convince the European consumers that palm oil is not anymore negative for environment.
So, but you admitted that palm oil has a bad image in Europe, and public opinion is quite negative towards it. So, are European governments then guilty of allowing these misconceptions against palm oil to perpetuate? Because there have been obviously there are allegations that palm oil causes deforestation, but there has also been contrasting opinions that it does not cause as much deforestation for the amount of value that you gain from palm oil compared to other edible oils?
What we're doing at the moment is that, of course, there's a change in policy as far as biofuels are concerned and only on biofuels in Europe. But we're open for dialogue, and I think that's what we want to do. We want to listen to the producers. We want to listen to the producing countries, Malaysia, Indonesia in particular. Last month, the French president sent his Ambassador for Environment to Malaysia to have a look on the ground to discuss. We held a joint committee on palm oil with the Ministry of Primary Industries here. We want to listen. And at the European Union level, we have also proposed a bilateral dialogue between ASEAN and Europe on palm oil issues. So the European policy is going to be reviewed in 2021, 2023. In between now and these dates, there's room for discussion and dialogue and for listening to arguments from Malaysia.
Is France looking to eventually implement a blanket phasing out of biofuel subsidies rather than just ones targeted at palm oil?
Not necessarily at this point in time, but one thing is clear, and it is that the diesel market is diminishing. Also because diesel itself, and it's not linked to palm oil or anything, it's the diesel itself, is becoming less acceptable for public opinion and for consumers because of pollution problems. Mm. So you're seeing a European market where diesel is less attractive than it was before. And therefore, at some point, maybe it's important to remind ourselves that diesel is not necessarily a great market for the future. What I mean here is that whatever we do regarding palm oil and biofuels in general, we also need to think of the future markets for this product, palm oil.
So would you say that palm oil then has been tainted by its association with diesel? Because France also uses, you know, there have been allegations that palm oil causes deforestation, but France also uses other oils like rapeseed and soy oil. And those are those free of deforestation?
They're not free of deforestation, but the scientific conclusions of the report that was made for the European Commission, commissioned by the European Commission a few months ago, showed that over the period 2008-2015, the expansion of palm oil plantations was done, 45% of this expansion was done at the expense of forest or high carbon stock areas. For other crops, like soy, for soy, it's 8% over the same period of time. So there's a clear difference in the impact on deforestation, as shown by the scientific studies conducted in the framework of setting these policies. Now, once again, all this is open for discussion. Mm-hmm. If there are better arguments, they should be brought forward. I think that's the idea at the moment, is to really be listening to the producers and to the producing countries.
So, Ambassador, have you then begun discussions with the ministers of plantations or the ministers of agriculture over the palm oil issue?
Yeah, of course. We have a very strong and very, not so easy, you know, it's a bit difficult, but we have very close discussions, in particular with the Minister of Primary Industries. And as I said last month, the French ambassador for environment came, and we had this good session of discussion where everybody can express its position and exchange views on the future.
On another subject also, more than 200 French students were studying in Malaysia in 2018, while about 1,000 Malaysians were studying in France. Now, this is the result of several educational tie-ups. Are we also looking to increase student mobility between the two countries?
Yes, absolutely. There are more than 70 agreements between French universities and Malaysian universities. And as a result, we see an increase in this. But we also work a lot on teaching French language. And there's a cooperation between us and the Ministry of Education that at this point in time, nowadays, the French language is being taught in more than 100 secondary schools in Malaysia, with more than 15,000 students there. So there's a progress. And I hope that this progress in French language give us a progress in more students from Malaysia going to France and the other way around.
Thank you so much for your time, Ambassador. I've been speaking to His Excellency Frédéric Laplanche, the Ambassador of France to Malaysia. I'm Lynn Mark for The Morning Run on BFM 89.9.
The Breakfast Grill is brought to you by U Mobile, now with wider 4G LTE reach. Baru la best.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.